on the screen for you, amen. As most of you know, we're dropping a new series called Blessed on Purpose, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm excited as we transition from Out of Nobody's Fool, which has been a relationship series. Now God is giving me something else. If you can stand for the reading of God's word real quick. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, and this is what it says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every little thing that moves on this earth. If you don't mind, shake three people's hands and tell them I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed. Yes, 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 I am blessed. Then God blessed them. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we embark on a new series, being pastors, I'm learning it's a difficult job. While getting you to know that Jesus is your Savior is my primary goal every week, for you to find Christ and give your heart and your mind and your body to Christ is my goal every week. But we also must understand that we must grow as Christians. I want everyone that comes across to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to repent of your sins, to learn how to pray. All these things are essential in your Christian walk and becoming a Christian. But we will all be gone one day out of here. One day we'll be gone. The Bible is clear that we bought nothing in this world and we'll take nothing out. The Bible is very clear about that. So that doesn't mean our time on earth doesn't have any meaning to it. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to even to enjoy our time on earth, because he does, because he has a purpose for us on earth. I'm going to attempt to show you through scripture and through this series that you were created on purpose. What that means is that God knew you before you was in the womb. So before your mother and father got together, before the beginning of time, you were already a thought in God's mind. That's how awesome our God is. That he already knew you. He knew what city you would be born in. He knew your parents. He knew what time. He knew what era. He knew everything about you before you were even formed. Is how awesome our God is. So not only were you created on purpose, but he blessed you with the purpose as well in mind. As we look at our Bibles today, we get only through a few verses, but my prayer is we begin to understand what it means to be blessed and how to live blessed lives. In the book of Genesis, we see God's will for our lives, his original intent in these first couple chapters. We know that by chapter 3, the serpent came in, he slid in and tricked Eve, and the devil messed it all up, and he took the rights away from Adam. But if we look in Genesis 1, we find what God's purpose and intent was for us. Amen. So look at Genesis 1 and 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So right here we see in the beginning, we see the Trinity, the triune God. God is not crazy. He said, let us make man in our image. He's not talking to himself. God's not crazy. He's not schizophrenic. But God, the Father, and the Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all right there and said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So when it came to designing man, God said, we got to make man like us. See, the problem is in our society and our news, social media is everywhere, is that we have an identity crisis. The reason we are so quick to murder, to lie, cheat, steal, kill, do all these crazy things, the reason why people say, I'm a man, but I'm born in a woman's body, and say things like that, that seem kind of crazy, but the reason they saying is because they don't know who they are. When I don't understand my identity and I don't understand I was made in his image, I either forgot about it or I never understood it. So I'm not saying we are God anyway. We are not God. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when God created the animals, he created them all. He said, I got to have somebody over them. I have to have somebody running them. Somebody has to have dominion over it. So he didn't just make us in his image, but our likeness. We are supposed to resemble how God looks, thinks, and acts. Yeah. See, there's a distinctive difference between us and animals. There are some similarities. That's why we're called mammals, because we have babies just like them, and they're able to have babies in the womb. We're all considered mammals, but if you look down to it, we are not the same as animals. We have the ability to think, to create in a way better capacity. Why? Because God made us in his image. Don't miss that. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them male and female. Look at Psalms 100, verse 3 real quick. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. You got to know that God made you, that he created you with a purpose. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Once I know who I am, I then know how to conduct myself. Yeah, you gotta know. See, if I believe my image is a gangster, then I'm gonna look up to Scarface and to Nino Brown and to the neighborhood drug dealers and to who gangster rappers. If that's who I think my image is gonna be, if I believe my image is a hot girl and this and that, women that are promiscuous, I'm gonna look to them because that's who I find myself and that's how I identify myself. But if I know I'm creating the image of God, I'm a royal priesthood in the chosen generation. See, I'm royalty. I know who I am. Once I know who I am, I act accordingly. It was sitting at a dinner table when it was a king and his son was there and his son kept slouching down while they were eating at the table. And he said, son, sit up. Son would sit up for a minute and slouch back down. He says, son, sit up. The son was slouched down again. The king is talking to his son. And the king got so frustrated. He said, don't you know you royalty? See, that's y'all don't get that. Once I know who I am, he said, don't you know you royalty? And once the son understood who he was, his position changed. Once you understand who you are, your position will change. Once you understand who you are, you will stop slouching. Once you understand who you are, you will stop settling. So God is saying, you must understand that you are my people. I've created you. See, when I'm made in the image of God, I understand how important my image is because we all see images through our eyes. Once I know who I am, check this out, I know I'm not the clothes I wear. Amen. Once I know who I am, it's not the shoes that I have on. It's not the car that I drive. It's not the house that I live in. Nothing on God's green earth can determine my worth when I realize who I am. But we become so insecure because of society. They put these things on. If I don't have this shoes or this shirt or this hat or this car, this. If I don't have this, I'm somehow inadequate. But God already made you how he needs you to be. So look at this. Then God blessed them and said to them. I'm going to stop right there. Then God blessed them. It's just highlighted. Then God blessed them. So we're about to break down this scripture. We're going to be here for a while because I got to understand how God's blessings work. The Bible says God blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful and be multiplied. This is why you have to know God for yourself. Because if you don't know God for yourself and you don't know that you're made in his image, you can't receive the blessings. Yeah. If I don't know scripture, then I can't identify what God says I am and whose I am. It's important I know the word because we have people who don't know scripture, who don't know God, but they will try to tell you what God said about you. How you gonna tell me what God said? You don't even know the word of God. So it's important for me also, I have to become familiar with the word of God. See, maybe we're not experiencing the blessings we think we should because we're not carrying his image. Yeah, ain't no perfect church. Don't get it twisted. There's no perfect church. All of us got issues. We come here every day to worship and ask for forgiveness. The only perfect church is in heaven, but we must understand that God has called us to be image bearers. He's called us to be ambassadors for Christ. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when he pleads. Come back to God. An ambassador, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a person that goes to represent a country on someone else's behalf. So when the United Nations have a meeting, America sends an ambassador. South Africa sends an ambassador. All these different people send ambassadors to be a representation for that country. What if God's trying to show you that you're a citizen of heaven and I need you to represent me here on earth? But it's impossible for me to represent you on earth if I'm not carrying the image. Something about you has to show who Christ is. You got to understand the importance of image. Okay. Me and my cousin was talking, pray for him. He's not here today. He had a relapse in the hospital. My cousin that was here, he had to go back to the hospital. And we was talking and we was laughing, just chopping it up. It's amazing. I can't believe I'm his pastor. Trust me. If y'all knew the stories I could tell, it's just too much. But we was in the hospital talking and he said, cuz, you know what really tripped me out is that I called you and I was like, hey, cuz, I'm back on. And if you know what back on means, you know what back on means. Praise God. But he said, cuz, I'm back on. Come holler at me. And I said, you know what, cuz, I'm saved. I don't do that no more. And he said, dang, he felt bad. and conflicted. I was like, nah, it's cool. How you been? You good. So we talked, and over this 12-year period, even though I'm saved, not who I was, but I still kept in contact with him. Always would check on him from now and then. How you doing? You know what I mean? He'd tell me this. God's doing this. I always encourage him. And don't get it twisted. I'm not perfect. Pastor has sinned like everybody else. Don't get it twisted. I repent. And my prayer every day is, Lord, help me with my walk, my talk, and my actions. Every day I pray that prayer. But the thing is that I'm not fake or phony. So he said, most people, when they say that Jesus stuff, it lasts for a little while. They say they know Jesus. See him later, we back in the same boat. He said, but you've kept it real for me for 12 whole years. And now he's saved. Now he's a member of my church. He's growing in Christ, and I'm loving it. And the only thing God told me is because you were image bearer. Don't miss that. We got to bear the image of Christ. The reason sometimes people are not getting saved and some people not moving how they're supposed to move is because we ain't representing him well. When we look at when we look at gang members, what do they represent? Hard. Yeah. People claim they hood hard. Yeah. You ain't gonna be able to tell them where they not from. They represent it to the point they even die for it. Yeah. Are we willing to die for Christ? Man, that's good. Are we able to represent until there's no end? See, I can't be an image bearer or ambassador if I don't know the word of God. Because this world beats me down so much. It takes my identity. It strips me down. But the word reaffirms who God says I am. So I need the word to pump me back up. So if I'm down and I'm out, and I don't feel God has blessed me as I should, and I don't feel I'm living the life that I should be living, it's because if we don't develop ourselves spiritual, our Christian experience will be bargain basement. Yeah. Jesus was only able to do a few miracles in Nazareth. Why? They didn't believe. That's his hometown, the hometown of the Messiah. But he can only do a few because they wouldn't believe. Yeah. Let's go back to the text. Be fruitful and multiply. I miss y'all. Shout out to We catch that. He already said in my image and likeness. Then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Be. What is be? Be is a commandment. Mm-hmm. Be fruitful. That's the first commandment in the Bible. Be fruitful. See, we so worried about the Ten Commandments, we all messed up. We worried about keeping the Ten. We got no killing, no adultery, no this. But I come to the conclusion that the law was only made for disobedient children. See, he didn't even make the Ten Commandments until Israel start tripping. Right. It's because they was out here wilding, acting like other nations and doing this and doing that. He said, look, I'm going to shorten it down. I'm going to give y'all 10. Just keep these 10 and we good. But if I'm already doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I ain't worried about the 10. I'm living according to God's word, so I ain't got to worry about the 10. Instead of don't, I can be.
Amen.
Y'all missed that. I'm preaching better than y'all respond. That's all right. Instead of don't, I can be. So that means what? That God says be. So what is commandment be? If I tell my son be somewhere, you better be there.
Right.
That's a commandment. If I say be there, you better be there. One time, we went out to eat after a Sunday, left the kids at home, and I told Daniel where to be at. Y'all know Daniel, you already know. I told him where to be at, so we go out, let him try to get a little freedom. It's the beginning of the summer. Go ahead and play and have a little freedom. So I let him go, and then Destiny calls me like, I can't find Daniel. Well, he either got to be at point A or point B, because that's where I said be at. Where he at? So she can't find him, so we away. So I'm coming home, my heart's kind of beating. Can't find this dude all the way on another side of the street playing basketball in somebody's house. So we got home, praise God. We had to lay hands on him, praise God, and do that. And he got on punishment. This was the beginning of the summer, and I didn't let him go outside for a long time. Why? Because I said, be there. So a B can mean something in the negative. Why can it can't mean something in the positive? It can be a commandment, not just to beat you down, but to lift you up. Listen, God says, be fruitful. See, when God expects to bless me, he expects me to produce. Yeah, God has put so much in you and blessed you on purpose, with a purpose. He has done so much for you. He's given you a talent, a calling, and a passion.
Yeah.
And the least we can do is be fruitful.
That's it.
The least we can do. God didn't tell us to settle. No, not at all. He said be fruitful. Let's look what Jesus said about fruit. John 15 says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit.
Yeah.
If you are in me, Jesus said, if you are in me and you are going to bear fruit, but if you're not, God gonna take it away. Mm. Wow. Mm. He look feel like I gave you talent, I gave you skills, I gave you ability, and you gonna settle for this?
Yeah.
I get it. We gotta have jobs, and everybody needs a job and an income, and everybody's not meant to be an entrepreneur. That's cool. But our jobs should line up somewhere with our passion and our vision and our goals. At some point, there should be something we like to do, we look forward to doing. But if I don't, our cop out is I can't stand my job. No, you're just not being fruitful. It's not that you don't understand it, you're just not being fruitful. It's not God's will for our life to live check to check.
Right.
Be fruitful. It's not God's will for our life to be swimming in debt. Be fruitful. God wants to grow us to grow fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. But if I'm going to be fruitful, I got to put some seeds in the ground.
Yeah.
Some of us wonder why we are not getting the blessings we feel we deserve. It's because we have no seeds in the ground. If we have no seeds, God can't produce no fruit. Our lips and our lives are two different things. Our mouths and our actions are walking contradictions.
Wow.
We've got to a point that we expect it, but we're not doing nothing to get it.
Yeah.
For fruit to grow, you have to plant the seed in the ground. Once I plant the seed in the ground, what happens? The sun has to shine on it. Some water has to come down on it so the seed can grow. No different than us. We got to put some seed in the ground. The sun that is so in has to shine on us. We got to wash ourselves with the word so we can wash ourselves from the world. And once we begin to do that, what happens? The seeds begin to grow. But this is what we do. Instead of letting that process happen, we get tired of waiting. So we pick the seed up and plant it here. And we pick the seed up and plant it here. And pick the seed up and plant it here. And how do you expect it to grow if you keep on picking it up?
Yeah.
Forgive us, Lord.
Yeah.
Sit yourself somewhere down and get planted.
Amen.
See, the blessing comes in being planted, but we can't be patient.
Yeah.
We pray for a second. But God ain't moving fast enough.
Right. Good.
We come to church for a little bit, but God ain't moving fast enough.
Yeah.
We tired for a little bit,
yeah.
But God ain't fixing it fast enough.
Yeah, Jesus.
What tripped me out about that is that how do we tired for a little bit and think God wants to fix it when we ain't tired for years and he ain't getting nothing about that? Like that's just our reasoning. Maybe we in the rivers. Maybe we got to catch back up to where God can overflow us. He's still going to pour it down and give you the blessing, but maybe you in the rivers right now. He wants some catch up. But check this out. An apple tree grows to be 10 to 20 feet. And can produce a whole harvest in 6 to 10 years. That's a whole apple tree. It takes 6 to 10 years for you to get one of them up.
Jeez.
We struggle being faithful for 6 weeks. Then get mad. What if God say wait 6 months? We ain't trying to hear it. God forbid he say wait 6 years. I didn't hear God. That way couldn't have been God. 6 years, that couldn't have been God. Nah, that couldn't have been God. But check this out. Until you learn to be faithful, you will never be fruitful.
Yeah.
Mm. Until you learn to be faithful, you will never be fruitful. Think about it. What does God say? He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been ruler over a few. Come now, you ruler much. Well done, my good and fruitful servant. You've been fruitful over this few things. Now I'm about to give you ruler over much. And we get caught up because we don't want to become ruler over the few things.
Yeah.
The beginning to fruitfulness is becoming ruler over a few things.
Mm-hmm.
We got to master the few things first. So my question is, what in your life is stopping you from being fruitful?
Mm.
What is it? I don't know about you, but I got plans, goals, and visions, and dreams I got to accomplish. And as I'm looking at it, the time is going faster, not slower. And the things that hindered me my whole life, the things that hindered me in 2019, I made up. I can't take them into 2020. There's no way I can take these things into 2020 because it's going to stop me from being fruitful. So I want you to think for a second. This is real. What is it in your life that's keeping you from being fruitful?
Yeah.
What is it? Do you know what it is? Think about it. You got to know what it is because what I'm trying to tell you is you got to let it go. Because if you don't let it go, you ain't going to grow. You got to be fruitful and produce. So God gave me this thing, and we'll talk more about it, but September 23rd to the end of the year is 100 days left. So I'm going to do a 100-day challenge. Not only am I going to pray, I always pray, but that's cool. I'm going to intensify that a little bit. But I say, you know what? I got to figure out three things I can't take into 2020 with me. Three things I cannot. not go into this next year with. Why? Because they slowing me down for my destiny. They slowing me down for my purpose. They slowing me down. And I don't know about you, I'm tired of being slowed down. I got to get what God has for me. So you got to know what is stopping you from being fruitful. And once you begin to find it, you have to purge those things. What did Jesus say? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Y'all know what it means to prune a tree? See, once a tree begins to get a lot of fruit on it, it's got fruit all over it. The vine dresser, the person that runs the garden, begins to cut all the branches off. Takes that fruit and cuts them down. But he don't cut them down to the point they can't grow no more, but just enough. Because he knows if I cut them just right, I might have had four, but I might get eight next harvest. If I cut it down just right, I'm going to produce a better harvest. So that thing you got to get rid of, you got to cut it down just right so God can produce more fruit in you. But fruitfulness is just the beginning of your purpose. Let's look at it. It says, and multiply. Woo! Let me shout, it's cool. It's cool. I know it's the beginning of the first chapter in the Bible. You're like, where are you getting all this stuff from? Be fruitful and multiply. See, fruitful is addition. Yeah, I like that. Fruit was adding something to your life. I need something added to my life. Thanks, God. I need things added. Fruitful is addition, but God didn't stop there. He said, go to multiplication. Woo! I need some multiplication in my life. I need some exponents. I need all that good stuff. I need it in my life. So this is what fruitful looks like. See, this is what fruitful looks like. Fruitful is an apple tree. Ain't nothing wrong with the apple tree. It's cool. It's healthy. It's growing. It got good fruit on it. There's nothing wrong with the apple tree. But I noticed this, that fruitful is just enough for my lifetime. Yeah. God, but as I study God of the Bible, he's bigger than just my lifetime. See, when I multiply, this is how I look. See, when I begin to multiply, I got a whole orchard. See, the orchard goes from generation to generation. And as you can see, it's a clear path to walk on. I'm setting up my kids' kids, my children's children. They're going to have a clear path to walk on. They're going to have fruits of righteousness, fruits of forgiveness, fruits of love, fruits of patience. I want them to have some money too, praise God. I want them to have all that because I need them to be blessed. But God calls us to multiply. Do you know what multiply means? In the Hebrew, it says to enlarge, to excel, to exceedingly increase, more, much greater, plenty. I don't know about you, but the next season of my life needs some multiplication in it. I had enough addition. I sure had enough subtraction. I had enough division. I need multiplication in my next season of my life. I need God to multiply me. Give me more than enough. So we take our lives to the next level and get blessed on purpose, we have to embrace be fruitful, be fruitful, and multiply. So when I embrace the be, I take responsibility. Good. Yeah. When I embrace that, I say, I got to do something about this. When I embrace it, I say, it ain't my boss fault that I'm broke. Yeah. It's not. I either didn't come to work or I need to put myself in position so I can get a better job and do what I need to do if I need to go to school, learn a trade, whatever I got to do. But it ain't my boss fault. It's not my pastor fault if I don't pray. It's not my pastor fault if I don't read my Bible, because I am a human being. I have an adult. I got to make some decisions too. And if I'm grown, it's not my parents' fault no more. I get it. It might have hurt. They might have messed up. Some things would have happened. I get it. But once I become an adult, I got to take initiative because I'm grown. Because ain't nobody coming to save me because I ain't a kid. And the quicker I figure that out, I go and be who God called me to be. I let go of what I need to let go. But I got to take initiative. So every day I wake up, you got two decisions. To be or not to be. Every day we got to wake up, we got a decision. To be who God's called me to be or not be. But you got to make a decision. If I choose not to be, the only person I can blame is myself. Because I have a choice. If something is tempting me and keeping me away from being who I have to be, then I got to get rid of it. I got to kill it all. I got to cut it off. You know what? Jesus, help me out. You know what it is? You got to take a second and think about it. What you need to kill off. Because subtraction is not an option moving forward. If I'm going to be who God has called me to be, then I got to understand that B also means duty and responsibility. Say duty. Okay, so police officers have a job. And their duty is to what? To protect and to serve.
Yeah, man.
Firefighters have a job. Their duty is to go into that burning building. Now, everybody else running out, trying to get out, trying to save their life. But their duty is to go in and help save lives. So if I'm a Christian and I'm following God, guess what? It's my duty to be.
That's good.
It's my duty to be fruitful.
Yeah.
It's my duty to be multiplying. Because check this out. If I don't do it, if I don't multiply and I don't be and do what God has called me to do, I think I'm more disrespectful to God.
Yeah, it is.
That I ain't being what he called me to be.
Yeah, right.
We got to get somewhere in our life and understand how important being is, because our city needs it. Mm-hmm. Our community needs it. As I was preparing this sermon, it was 93 murders in the city of Indianapolis already. 93 in 240 days. I don't know if we had another. Well, we did have another one since then. Jesus, have mercy. So I know it's at least 94, because we know somebody that passed. Murders in the city. What are we doing? And we don't think we need to pray. We don't think we need to evangelize. We don't think we need to come and tell people Jesus is coming, that he loves you, that he cares for you. Because he said, be fruitful and be multiplied. But then he also said, fill the earth. And I'm 1,000% sure God don't want us to fill the earth with sin. I'm 1,000% sure. That's not what he wants. He wants us to fill it with what? His image and his likeness. So to do this, never forget our purpose, our destiny, whoever God called us to be must line up with God's kingdom agenda. As we see right here in the scripture, the kingdom agenda. Check it out. We're back in the text. Real quick, it says this. And subdue it, having dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God put us here to subdue the earth. Y'all know what subdue means? To conquer.
That's it.
Take over. Y'all don't know who y'all are. See, I'm trying to help you out. God put you on earth to conquer and to take over. That's why Paul said, I don't care about trials, tribulations. I don't care about death. Ain't nothing going to separate me from the love of Christ, because I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. When Jesus came, he upped it a notch. He said, you more than a conqueror. You know you bad, that you great, that you got greatness in you? More than a conqueror. You have royalty in your DNA, greatness in your DNA. The Father God has made you and created you to be something great. So when we live below what he said, it's almost disrespectful to him. He said, do you know who I am? That I'm your Father. There ain't another person on earth like you. You are one of a kind. You are special to me. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love you.
Jesus.
See, when someone creates something, guess what? They know the best way the product should work.
Amen.
And everything they create
Amen. Has
a purpose.
Right, yeah.
So I'm assuming most of us have refrigerators. And we use that to what? Cool our food down. If our refrigerator is getting hot, it's not operating in the purpose it's supposed to be in.
Right.
And that means it ain't no good. We're either going to get it fixed or get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But the manufacturer had an intent that it's supposed to keep our food cool. If your dryer goes out, praise God. And no matter what you do, you try to start that thing back up and put it on time, the clothes still soaking wet. That wasn't the intent for the manufacturer. That means something is wrong. Something is wrong, but the purpose of it was to continue to be heat. So what God is saying is that I'm the manufacturer.
Yes,
and my purpose and intent for you is to be fruitful, to be multiplied, to conquer, to rule, and have dominion. And if you let anybody take it away from you, that's your fault. Because
right.
I created you to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand who you are.
Mm.
Approve who you were created to be and how God blessed you and empowered you to be fruitful and to multiply. Subdue the earth. But not only that, but God wants us to have dominion as well.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
One of the reasons I believe we never experience all this stuff that God assigned from the beginning, because we want God on discount.
That's
why we don't give. We want God on discount. That's what it is. That's what God told me. You ever been in a store and they had a sale, bargain? Woo! 30% to 50% off. Look at the ladies like, yes, Pastor. Yes, don't let me see 50% off. Whole check gone. I'm in there. You see 50% off, you run and grab your stuff off the racks you ain't never grabbed, like Kohl's 2-for-1, BOGOs. You see all these deals. We loving it. We grabbing it and getting everything we need. And it's a beautiful thing. Checkout lines is packed because it's a discount. But it dawned on me. That's how we are in our Christian walk. Yeah. We want God when we want him. And then when we want him on discount.
Yeah.
Yes. God, I want to be fruitful. God, I want to multiply. I want to conquer. I want dominion, but can I get it on discount? Can I get 30% off? I want all those things, but do I really gotta worship you? Do I really gotta pray to you? Do I really gotta love you? Do I gotta love my neighbor? Do I gotta give? Do I gotta attend worship service? Do I gotta do all that, God? Because I want what you're gonna give me, but do I gotta give you all you want? We want the blessing in all, but we want it on discount. We don't want a sovereign God. See, God is sovereign, which means he knows everything. He's in control of everything. He can even control me once I submit to him. But do we really want that? See, the price to his kingdom and his kingdom and his agenda and the price to everything is obeying him and his rules. Until we understand that our purpose and destiny must align with God's kingdom agenda, we'll never get all God has for us. So to show up on Sunday and God doesn't own your Monday through Saturday, it's a discount. Yeah. When I show up just on Sunday, I love it, I'm worshiping, I pray, I need him. But Monday through Saturday, I go back to doing me. That's God on a discount. To show up on Sunday and don't believe God doesn't own the rest of our week, it's like a hamster in a cage. Y'all seen the hamsters in the cage? And they got that little wheel in there. And they get on that little wheel. What they do? They going, they running. They tired. They just ran 2 miles. And when they get off the wheel, guess where they at? Still in a cage. See, it was just a waste of time. When I want God on the discount, and I want to make my own rules and my own preference of how me and God going to have this relationship, I'm running. I'm doing something for God, but I'm never going to get where I need to be. I'm going to figure out that it was just a waste of time. All that running, and I was really running in place. I didn't move anywhere. So we have to change our thinking from, Lord, you can have my Sunday, to Lord, you can have my week. See, when Lord has our week, I not only Sunday comes, I'm praying through the week. I'm reading through the week. I'm studying through the week. Now when I come in here, it's just to give him thanks. Now when I come into here, it's to put a cherry on top of what I've been doing all week. But sometimes we don't talk to God all week. We don't pray all week. That's why I want us to pray at noon to have y'all make sure at least one time a day you're spending some kind of time with God. Because if I don't spend no time with him all week, I come in here Sunday, I'm drained. I'm down and out. My heart is hurting. I'm beat down. But we must understand if we want to get the best experience of God, it only boils down to one thing. God's priority in your life. When this command was issued to Adam and Eve, the voice of God was supreme. When God told them to be fruitful, be multiplied, conquer and all that, it wasn't until chapter 3 that they got tricked by the enemy. Eve ate from the fruit and so did Adam, and they did all this, and then they gave their rights to the enemy. So, but before that, they didn't even need to pray. Why? Because they talked to God in the garden. Can you imagine that? They didn't have to pray. They just, hey, God, what's up? You good today? What you need me to do? I got you. That's how their relationship was. They was on one accord. It was so tight that Adam was naming the animals. Adam was in the garden, tilling the garden, taking care of things. Adam was loving on his wife. Everything was working perfectly. Why? Because they were obeying God's agenda. The moment that you decide to put things over God's agenda, that will be the beginning of the end. So they weren't thinking about eating the fruit. They weren't thinking about trying to be like God until they tried to replace God's agenda. They were living in the B because God was top priority. When God was top priority, they did everything God said do. But soon as one voice came in, praise God. Soon as one voice came in that said something different.
That's for real.
Soon as one voice that had got kicked out by God.
Wow.
Soon as one voice that really didn't know God how they should know God said something, they lost their B. Can one person say something to you and you lose your B?
Yeah. Jesus.
Can one person say, come over here and you lose your B? Can one person say, let's do this and you lose your B? And the precious thing about it is when we lose our B, we got to fill it back up. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of starting over.
Amen.
I'm tired of starting over. I don't want to start over no more.
Amen.
I want all the B God got for me, amen.
Amen.
I don't want to start over no more.
Yeah,
so as I looked at this, I said, because you know the Old Testament is concealed, New Testament revealed. Since the first commandment was B, what does that sound like? And then God said, it sounds like Jesus. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Hallelujah.
I need you to focus on the word first.
Yeah.
Seek ye first.
Yeah.
If that word gets lost in your life,
yeah,
your experience with God will be basically barking. If that word is lost in your life, your experience with God will be diminished. It will not be what it's supposed to be, because he says, seek ye first. God and his kingdom demand to be first in our lives. God does not demand to be one among many. See, that's what we do. Yeah, we want God to be one among many. God, I got this, and God, I got that, and God, I got that. No, he says, seek me first. If you want your purpose and your passion, you want your course to be blessed. Not saying you won't have trouble and trials, and we'll get to that, because as you know, heartache and pain, that's part of the process of getting a blessing. So not to say nothing won't happen, but the way you react to it will be different.
Yeah.
You'll be able to handle it. So that's why I said God gave us peace that surpasses our understanding. How you ain't crazy when your daughter died? Peace that surpasses our understanding. How you ain't crazy when your mom and daddy died? That's the passive all understanding. How you ain't crazy? The kids acting a fool. They do whatever they want to do. It seems like chaos all over you. Peace, that's the passive all understanding. God, handling it with God is way different.
Yes, Pastor. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. My God.
So check this out. In Dr. Tony Evans' book, Destiny, he says this. The problem in most of our Christian lives, and the reason why so many of us are not fully experiencing and living out our purpose and walking in our destinies, It's because that God and his kingdom are not first. Wow. They're not first. Frequently, as a pastor, I get to talk to people and I get to counsel people and we get to talking, and it's a lot of times the same thing, because I got to ask you where you and God at. How's your relationship with God? And it's always God on the back burner. Yeah. God's on the back burner in their life. You know what I mean? I just don't got time for God, Pastor. I got to do this. I got to do it. I just don't have time for God. And truth be told, Pastor thought like that one time too. So I get it. Because I thought like that. I ain't got time for God. I asked her to call, try to get me to go to church every Sunday. I don't want to go to church. I ain't got time for God. I thought like that too. So I get it. But I got to understand, if you're going to get to your purpose, God got to be first in your life. Then I came to realize that all of us make time for whatever's first in our life anyway.
Right, they sure do.
So it's not that you don't have time for God. It's just he not first. Because we make time for whatever we want. Thank you, Jonathan and Reynolds. I appreciate that. Make room for God. I love that song. I love that song because he says we got to learn to make. What's the name of the album too? Shameless plug. If you ain't heard it, go get it. Make room for God, because God has already created me with a purpose, on purpose. He blessed me to be fruitful, to be multiplied. He blessed me to do all these things. He even gave me gifts to reach my destiny. But if I'm going to fulfill that, I got to make room.
Yeah.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities. And Jesus, you're my number one.
Amen.
So I will make room for you. I will prepare for two. So that you don't feel you can't live in me. Please live in me. We don't want to make room for God. What are you willing to make room for? I love the song. He says, my ego, you can move that over. My pride, you can move that over.
Yes.
My itinerary, you can move that over.
Move
over. My schedule, you can move that over. My Facebook time, you can move that over. My Instagram time, you can move that over. Whatever it is, I will make room. And the reason we ain't getting where God has for us is we ain't making no room for him.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
God can't move in you when you got too many things in his place. So when God created man, it was clear he wanted to be first. I'm giving you dominion over my creation. I need to be first. Which means I'm giving you everything. Just don't touch my tree. Everything else you can handle. Don't touch my tree. I need to be first. When the first offering came in the Bible, and Cain and Abel, what Cain gave, whatever he wanted to give to God. A little fruit, a little vegetable. I'm going to give this to God. This is what I want to give to God. Abel took the first fat of his calf. The first, the best. And gave it to God. And God blessed Abel's and rejected Cain's. Proverbs 3:7 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus. He says, turn back to your first love.
Amen.
He don't mean you didn't love me. You did love me, but I'm not your first love anymore. I need to be your first love.
Yeah.
You let other things come and consume you. So all I'm saying is, if your destiny and your purpose, and you're going to be fruitful and you're going to multiply, you're going to have the ability to subdue and rule and conquer and have dominion and do all these things, God got to be first.
Yeah.
It's deeper than just having money, because people with money are crazy. It's deeper than having with money, because people with money ain't got no peace. It's deeper than money, because people that got money still commit suicide. It's deeper than money. I need everything. I need to be fruitful in my relationships with my children, with my parents, with my wife, with people, and with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to be fruitful in everything. So the blessing comes when seeking Him is not a suggestion. The blessing comes when seeking Him is not the new flavor of the month. The blessing comes when seeking Him isn't something I'm considering, it's something I'm doing. I have to understand and realize that seeking Him first will lead to the greatest manifestation of my destiny.
Yes.
Because God is not to be one among many. Yes. God got to be first above all. Amen. Yes. And we got to praise in this place. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.